As Monsignor mentioned at the beginning of Mass, I just finished my studies at Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C., studying canon law. And I love all the museums and buildings around Washington. It was a great blessing to be able to live there for 3 years and study. One of the interesting places that maybe some people don't often go to visit because they don't exactly think it sounds all that exciting is the Library of Congress. It sounds like, oh, a library. If you're on vacation to D.C. and you tell your kids, hey, let's go to the library. Well, yeah, you can imagine the kind of reaction you're going to get. But actually, the Library of Congress is one of my favorite buildings. Even before I was a student, I did actually go and study there and was an accredited researcher to the collection. But more impressive is actually just the building itself. It's a beautiful, one of the most beautiful buildings in Washington inside. But it's interesting because the Library of Congress got its start when Thomas Jefferson donated his entire collection of books, which was substantial, to the early Congress in the very early days of the country. And that became the first library. Today, the big building with the little torch on top is, in fact, known as the Jefferson Building. But it's very interesting because one of the things that Jefferson was most famous for doing and one of his books that he actually created is what is colloquially today known as the Jefferson Bible. Thomas Jefferson, he believed Jesus was a great moral teacher. But he couldn't believe all these other stuff, like miracles and all that. That he thought was just added later and wasn't really the interesting part about Jesus. So Thomas Jefferson did something very interesting, or sacrilegious, depending upon how you look at it. He took an English Bible, a Latin Bible, a Hebrew Bible, a Greek Bible, and he took all those passages that he thought were made up, the miracles, a lot of them, and he just cut them out. And so he took out everything he didn't think was interesting, and he wanted to boil it down just to the moral teachings of Jesus. And so he created what is known as the Jefferson Bible by cutting out the parts he agreed with, and he put that in his Bible, and he got rid of everything else. And so he's got this little four-column Bible in four languages that is just what he titled it, not even a Bible, he called it The Life and Morals of Jesus of Nazareth. Thomas Jefferson thought this was the interesting part, and the miracles and stuff, that's all just made up ridiculousness. Well, how contrary to actually our belief in Christianity that really is. To think that somehow we could have just the moral teachings of Jesus without the miracles, like we see in our gospel today. It doesn't actually make any sense. How could Jesus be a good moral teacher if he's also claiming, by the way, yeah, that love your neighbor stuff, that's good, but love God, and by the way, I am God, and so worship me. That's not the kind of claim that just a good moral teacher makes. We can't really just dismiss the whole supernatural side of Jesus and say, yeah, but he said some interesting things. Because the problem with that is in Christianity, we're much more than simply a theological system or a set of beliefs or a moral system even. As good as all that is, it's a part of the truth of what we believe. But all that fundamentally flows not because Jesus had good ideas, but because Jesus was God. God has visited his people, they say in the gospel, when Jesus comes. They know that something more than just a great moral teacher is here. God is here. Something that has never happened before in the history of the world, that God would become present and one of us in the world, and will never happen again until Jesus comes again. That is why we come here every Sunday. That is why we believe, not because of Jesus being some random good moral teacher. There were lots of wisdom teachers at the time of Jesus. He wasn't just another one of them. People came to him because they saw special things in him, what we call miracles. I just saw the movie, you might have seen it too, Risen. It's a movie about Jesus being raised from the dead. Sorry, spoiler alert, if anybody was confused, Jesus rises from the dead in the movie, but hopefully we knew that. But in the movie, it's about a Roman official, a centurion, a tribune, who was present on Calvary at the time of Jesus' death, and it later kind of shows his encounter with Jesus, risen from the dead, who he saw dead on the cross, and now he sees alive again. And he's asking the apostles, though, why do you follow him? Why do you believe in him? And one of the apostles, you know, points out to him right at that moment that Jesus is about to do a miracle. And so Jesus then, right, cures a leper that is there. And everyone's astounded, and the apostle just looks at the tribune and says, that's why. That's why we follow him. Because he does stuff like that. He just took a person who was all withered and falling apart, he touched him, and now he's not a leper, and he's perfectly clean. That's why we follow him. So yes, there's good moral teaching, but the miracles are really what ultimately inspired people. Now, the problem is, I think sometimes that today, we don't exactly expect miracles. We come to our church every Sunday, and it's kind of the same, and we read the same stories, and even I, when I went to prepare the homily today, I kind of looked at the readings, and it's nice sometimes to see, well, what kind of readings are they? I'm like, okay, first reading, raising from the dead. Oh, it's easy, the gospel is also raising from the dead. So we have raising from the dead stories today in Scripture. That's nice. Like, wait a minute, raising from the dead stories, okay? How crazy is it that in our faith, we have a whole genre of stories that we can just refer to as raising from the dead. You know, it's kind of normal. They raise people from the dead in our faith. It just happens. That's astounding. Jesus just raised someone from the dead today in Scripture. And yet we get so used to that, that we just like, raising from the dead story. That's nice. Jesus is going to turn bread and wine into himself today. That's nice. Nice story. And we just kind of go on as if nothing really happened. That didn't happen in Scripture. When people encountered these things in Scripture, everything changed. So I think we need to be a little more bold. We need to, first of all, expect the miraculous to happen. Even if it doesn't happen in maybe the blatant ways that we see in the Scripture today, although sometimes that does happen, but we need to expect that the miraculous will happen and even ask God for it. I think so many times these things don't happen because we don't think they could happen and we don't even ask. It's interesting, coming back to St. Patrick's today, I've told this story elsewhere, but I don't know if I've ever actually told it here, but it actually involves St. Patrick's and the parishioners at St. Patrick's. I was one in seminary that very much believed in, we need to ask for miracles more. God will intervene if we ask. Well, some of you might remember that summer of 2005, when I was here, and then that fall when I went back to seminary, that was when we had that tragic car crash that killed two of our seminarians in the archdiocese. And one of those was my classmate that was going to be ordained with me, and the other was a year behind me. And as you might imagine, this really kind of just threw everyone, because after all, we're seminarians, we're studying to be priests, and how could God let this happen, and what is God doing? And I remember one night, I was lying in my bed, and just grief is just over the campus, all over, and I was taken very hard because my best friend in seminary had just been killed, and I just talked to him, you know, a couple hours before, and I remember praying to God, like, okay, God, you know, you do all these powerful things in Scripture, and when Jesus was really having a rough time in the Garden of Gethsemane, the mystery of the rosary we call the agony in the garden, it says that he prayed so intensely that you heard his prayer and you sent him an angel to comfort him, the Gospel of Luke tells us. So I was praying to God that night as I'm just feeling in agony like Jesus and very much relating, God, send me an angel. I'm like, that'd be good. I need an angel right now. So you need to send me an angel. You do all this crazy stuff in Scripture. So send me an angel like you sent Jesus an angel. It says that he's your beloved son. You say that I'm your beloved son. You need to send me an angel right now. And I really kind of expect it, you know, like, you know, is Gabriel going to flutter down? You know, Padre Pio talked to his guardian angel, so I knew this was possible. Like, where's my angel? I need an angel now. Well, eventually I just fell asleep. And I woke up in the morning, and I was kind of upset. No angel. I was not doubting that there was God. I knew there was God. I just didn't like him very much at that time. But it was interesting because that morning after Mass, I went to my mailbox. And in my mailbox, it was just addressed to me at seminary, and it was from St. Patrick's. I'm like, well, that's interesting. I open up this little envelope. I take it out. It's a little card that's got a picture of one of those cherub angels on the front of it. I'm not kidding you. I open it up and it says, Dear Sean, everyone here at St. Patrick's is just taken aback, and we know this is going to be really hard on you, so we just wanted you to know that you're not alone, that everyone here at St. Patrick's is praying for you, and we wanted to send you this little card with this little angel on the front of it. I thought, okay, God, that's pretty good. I mean, that's not what I expected, but all right, good enough. There is my angel, and it's just a little reminder that okay, God may not answer our prayers exactly the way we ask, if we ask boldly for something, but he's going to answer. And it may be something miraculous. I have witnessed great miracles as a priest in the gifts of the sacraments. But we've got to ask. But then we've got to be able to recognize it. I mean, I could have said, that doesn't count. It's not an angel. It's just a card. But no, I mean, I was open enough to say, all right, that's pretty good, you know, actually. I mean, yeah. What else is miraculous around us that we miss all the time? So maybe we need to be more looking out for this, to realize that this isn't just a human thing that we're doing. St. Paul in our second reading is very clear about that. This gospel that he's preaching, it's not Thomas Jefferson style, where you just cut out all the miraculous. Paul tells us very specifically, I did not learn what I'm telling you by reading it. In fact, I don't even know the apostles yet. So don't say that somehow Peter told me and I'm just repeating it. No, Jesus appeared to me on the road. I saw him. He told me this stuff, and that's why I'm telling you. And that's why Paul was persuasive. People believed him. People have got to be more open, I think, to this. Here in just a few minutes, what seems like the most ordinary thing in the world, bread and wine, are going to become God. Now that happens all the time, like raising people from the dead in the scripture. The question is, what will happen for us today? It might look just like ordinary bread and wine, but we know it becomes God. And probably the larger question is, what does it become then for us? What happens in us? Well, like that tribune in the movie, like the people in the scriptures that see these miracles, their lives changed forever because of this encounter with the power flowing from Jesus. What will happen in our lives this morning as we encounter nothing less miraculous, Jesus really here with us? So, as you receive the Eucharist today, ask for something. Bring everything that's in your life right now. Offer it on the altar. But then don't be afraid to ask. Jesus, you know everything that's going on, but here's what I really want to pray for this morning. I really want this. I really think I need this. This would be good for my family, for my friends. Help me. Do something. Don't be afraid to ask. And who knows? God might even send you an angel.